Why don't we open our Bible sa book ng Jeremiah? Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. And let me read this to you sa ESV na translation. Yung sabi po dito, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the days when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put the law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34, and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor, and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Nowadays, where innovation and fast-paced development sa technology, or yung tinatawag po natin na updates or mga upgrades, both sa ating software tsaka sa mga hardware, is considered highly important. Most especially, kung meron po kayong mga cell phones, where in fact, lahat po tayo merong ganyan. And if you are having yung iPhone, di po ba? Now and then, may mga upgrades na mga nangyayari or updates na nangyayari. And we know the importance and worth of it. We know that without these updates, yung gadgets po natin, yung machines po natin, simply gets outdated or becomes slower and eventually past their worth. Yung Apple po, yung mission statement po ng Apple is to bring the best user experience to customers through innovative hardware, software, and services. Well, sa passage po na binasa natin, there is a better update that had happened which offers the service, which offers us yung service not just to meet yung temporal na pangangailangan natin bilang mga tao, but guarantee yung greatest need natin, ito, not to meet our greedy consumerist character, but to confront it with grace and mercy offered by a steadfast and faithful God. And that is what we will try to meditate sa libro ng Jeremiah, verse 31 to 34. But before that, let me give us yung historical tsaka yung cultural background ng passage na ito for us to understand and to appreciate and to rejoice in worshiping God for the new covenant that He has given us. Siguro, we all know kung sino po si Prophet Jeremiah. We might know him yung sa kanyang unique situation that he was when he started yung kanyang prophetic ministry. We might know him as a weeping prophet. But this description of the prophet Jeremiah is understatement of his persistence at saka yung toughness niya in proclaiming the impending judgment that will happen sa Israel, sa Jerusalem, as consequence ng kanilang kasalanan in breaking the covenant with God by going after idolatrous worship and idolatrous lifestyle. Well, in addition sa task na meron siya, si Prophet Jeremiah po had a tough background. Scholars believe that he is possibly a descendant of Abiathar, a deposed priest during sa time sa exile, and he was being exiled sa may Anathon by Solomon because si Abiathar po supported yung conspiracy na ginawa ni Adonijah to usurp yung throne sa kay David when David was on his deathbed. And yung plan is si Solomon to be put into the throne. Yet despite of that, God used si Jeremiah to call people into repentance and proclaim the coming judgment because of their rebellious act against sa Diyos. Jeremiah witnessed yung potential revival, kung titingnan po natin, yung sa may Jerusalem, wherein they are about to, sa time ni Josiah, that they are, yung worship of Yahweh is slowly shaping. There is hope for them. But because of Josiah's death, nakita po natin that they slowly again went back sa kanilang idolatrous worship. We can see in chapter 2, verse 13, if you're going to open your book in Jeremiah, it tells us that they have forsaken God and go after gods that are made by hands. Yan po yung problema niya dito. And if you're going to remember in Deuteronomy, God has promised to them that if they broke the covenant, God will send the nation for them to be judged. And makikita po natin that slowly, God is fulfilling yung kanyang sinabi dito. In verse 19 of chapter 2 ng Jeremiah, they did not fear God. They even a people described by Jeremiah who did not admit their sins against God. They choose to trust the power of other nations for protection rather than Yahweh because they refused to repent. So in response, because God is holy and God has promised judgment if they will do this, God's response to them is to send them sa may exile. Mababasa po natin ito in verse 5, verse 15. In chapter 5, verse 15, which says, "Behold, I am bringing against you a nation from afar, O house of Israel, declares the Lord." But, here's the thing, mga kapatid, despite of God's judgment to them, we can still see God's mercy displayed in response to his promise covenant sa kanila. A promise that God made to their forefather Abraham. That though these people refused to repent and God's righteous response is judgment by sending them into exile, God's promise in chapter 5, verse 10 and in verse 18 that he will not make a full end sa kanila. Or we can read in Jeremiah 30, verse 11, see, that tells us that God will not leave the sins of his people unpunished, but he will execute discipline. So we can see here yung holiness, that God will justify his holiness by punishing sin. And that is a righteous judgment of a righteous God. With Jerusalem laid siege in 587 BC, recorded in chapter 39 ng libro ng Jeremiah, and with its final composition took place in 550 BC, this book serves as a reminder para sa mga exiles who are sitting there in Babylon, recalling yung kanilang rebellion sa banal na Diyos, and warned them that through his prophet, including sa kay Jeremiah, sa mga prophets, including sa kay Jeremiah. Now, titingnan po natin, perhaps they have this kind of question. They are God's people. God promised them a covenant, a land, kung saan they will enjoy. But yet, because of their rebellion, they are sitting sa may Babylon and having this kind of questions sa mga isip nila, why we are here? Is God real? If Nebuchadnezzar is Nebuchadnezzar more powerful than Yahweh? So we can only imagine how they will keep on asking itong questions ito sa kanilang mga sarili. Maybe, perhaps, some of us have the same questions right now sa mga buhay natin. Why is these things happening to me? But we know the reason why, kung bakit naandoon sila. But that is because of their unfaithfulness to Diyos. That they are unfaithful covenant partners. That they were unable to keep God's word and be devoted to Him alone. Now, so verses po ng sa chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, it provides hope for these exiles. That though they were unable to keep the commandments of God, na ibinigay sa kanila, the fact that they were in Babylon, ay yung rason po is yung kanilang unfaithfulness, rebellion nila. But this is the reason as well, a providence of God, that He will provide a solution not only to them, but also to our greatest problem by showing us His mercy and faithfulness. And ano po ito? That through the new covenant. And if you are writing po sa umaga na ito, yung big idea po natin is this. God promised new covenant. God promised new covenant offers a solution to man's problem as unfaithful covenant partners and warrants forgiveness and restored fellowship of His people to Him. Yung theological truth po na makikita po natin throughout sa book na ito, that God is a faithful covenant partner who forgives sin while man is unfaithful and a sinful na partner. Well, I have divided po yung parts ito, yung passage ito into two parts. Una po, the promise of new and better covenant. And the second po is the nature of the new covenant. In verse 31, sabi po dyan, mababasahin po natin ulit. Sabi dyan, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, makikita po natin that in verse 31, he begins with the word, behold. Di po ba? Behold. Or it simply means to listen carefully, to pay attention, or close attention, because what will proceed is very important. It's like a parent saying to his child, listen carefully. You need to pay attention to what I am going to say, because we know yung tension that what's next is something important. Now, ano po yung sinasabi dito sa passage natin? What God is calling them to pay attention to? In our passage, God is telling them that through the prophet Jeremiah, of the coming days, that God would make a new covenant sa house ng Israel at sa Judah. Perhaps, kung ikaw po ay isa po sa mga exile na mga panahon na yon, who is seeing yung power and even sitting there as a slave, it might spark a hope para po sa mga hopeless sa mga tao na ito, sa mga discouraged sa mga exiles na ito. It might give you a glimpse na, yes, there is something good that will happen. If there is one race that truly understand and experience yung glory and power ng covenant ng ating Diyos, ito po ay yung kanyang mga tao. Perhaps for them, this means that this is not their end para po sa mga exile na iyon. It gives them hope that they will not be consumed as what God has promised to them. That Babylon is not their final settlement. That once again, they will witness God's hand, His glory, His power, come to rescue them from their misery and their pain, from their rebellion, from their sin. But if there is one thing that stands out sa passage na ito, makikita po natin that that is God's commitment, God's steadfast na commitment sa kanyang mga promises. Despite yung atrocity of sin that they have committed against God, God is still willing and faithful to continue yung kanyang covenant towards sa kanyang mga tao. And a covenant that lies not sa atin, but a kind of covenant that lies sa character ng ating Diyos. And yung commitment niya that he made sa kanyang forefather na si Abraham, which is yung napag-aralan natin noong manakaraan. I could not imagine how slowly kung ikaw po yung naan dito at nakaupo and hearing yung promise na dineclare ni Jeremiah that the days are coming, diba? It sparks hope for them. A kind of hope that is built up in the character ng ating Panginoon. So, titingnan po natin in chapter 30, verse 3. Sinabi din po dito, "For behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will bring them back to the land that I gave to their fathers, that they shall take possession of it." Notice who is saying and declaring yung bagay na to. It is the Lord. He is the one that will restore their fortunes. He is the one that will bring them back to the land that He promised sa kanila at sa kanilang mga forefathers. This might set in them to look forward to the day that they too may experience yung kind of exodus that they have experienced sa kanilang forefathers during sa past. But interestingly, in verse 32, draws the difference between this new covenant and the old. That though they will experience yung continuity of God's faithfulness, it's a new covenant, but yung means na gagamitin ng Diyos to accomplish it is different. Kung titingnan po natin, if we're going to understand yung old covenant, God's covenant partners, which are Israelites, prove their incapability to their faith, to their yung faithfulness nila sa Diyos. We can see in chapter 5, verse 8, how God described them as lustly stallions, that they neigh for their neighbor's wife. They were even described as a nation that whores themselves to many lovers, which is makikita po natin in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1. That's how sinful po yung mga tao na to. At the same time, tayo po, that we are incapable to be a faithful covenant partner para sa Diyos. Even in the book of Jeremiah, the priests and the prophets show or nagpakita po sila ng infidelity towards Yahweh. In the worst, they were reluctant to admit yung kanilang mga kasalanan and did not fear God. That is why in verse 32, makikita po natin yung sinabi po dyan, "Not like the covenant that God made with their forefathers." A covenant, a kind of covenant that is written in a stone of tablets and later on scrolls, which eventually nakalimutan po nila. But this covenant that God, despite of God's act in bringing them out from the land of Egypt, they still choose to violate and choose to rebel against Him as their faithful husband. And kung titingnan po natin, this unfaithfulness leads to nullify and in breaking the first agreement that they have with Yahweh. And perhaps while sitting in Babylon and coming across to this part in verse 32, how their forefathers broke covenant with God, And looking into Deuteronomy 28:15-68, this raises yung question na, why must we do this? Enable for us not to fall into the same cycle of profit. Or what must we do? Enable for us not to fall in the same cycle of problem. What remedy we must make for us to maintain and have a lasting covenant relationship with Yahweh? Or perhaps they are in the right question. And the same thing din po sa atin, what we must do to have a lasting relationship with our holy, righteous, and sovereign God. Perhaps we have this kind of temptation to look into ourselves and ask, what can I do? And look to the things that we can do, trusting our own works. But every time we look into sa ating sarili, we know how our greatest problem. That our self-righteousness, that our effort to keep God's commandments would always lead us to one reality. That is, we cannot keep God's promises. Kaya makikita natin in Romans 3:10, it declares there is none righteous. No one can keep, no one seeks God. Titingnan natin doon. That is our nature, mga kapatid. We do not seek and we do not look and we do not choose God sa buhay natin. That's our greatest problem. And if we're going to trust on that, it will only frustrate us. That's the reality. But the good thing is, makikita natin sa passage that we still have hope like these people who are sitting in exile because of their sin. Because we can look into God's faithfulness and into His covenant as our covenant partner who longs to build a personal relationship with us through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And God has fulfilled that by sending His Son to become a perfect covenant partner para sa atin. He died on our behalf. He was buried, and on the third day, He was risen from the grave. But how He will do this? Which is, yun po yung titingnan natin sa second point natin. The nature of this new covenant. And makikita po natin in verses 33-34. Yung sabi po dito, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." Two things that I want us to see sa verses na ito. Una, unlike the first covenant, that is, the second covenant is written not in a piece of stone, but in the hearts of those who are part of this new covenant community. Ang pangalawa po, that the means by which this new covenant is received is through forgiveness of sin. Unlike the first covenant, the second covenant is written in the tablets, not in the tablets of stone, but in the hearts of those who are part of this new covenant community. Makikita po natin yan in verses 33-34a. A while ago, we said that in the first covenant, Israelites who were God's covenant partners failed to keep yung covenant na ito. A covenant that God has written and was given in the Mount of Sinai. In Old Covenant, the means that God used to instruct His people, and most especially the younger generation, is through the written law. Makikita po natin yan in Deuteronomy 5:31, verse 32, and 6, verse 3. We can read God's command to Moses and the community of Israel to teach and keep all the commandment God had given them, and everything will go well with them. Which for these exiles, they knew exactly na hindi po nila nagawa ito. They have failed gawin yung bagay na ito. That is why in the new covenant, God planned for a new means to accomplish this. God made a remedy for this long-standing problem of His people. Unlike the old covenant, which is written in the tablets of stone, God's remedy is a new heart. A heart, a new nature for His people. Kaya ito yung sabi ni Prophet Ezekiel in 36. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 to 27. That this remedy that God must divinely act in a long-standing problem na kanyang mga tao, which is yung unfaithfulness natin. God must replace man's hardened heart with a new heart and a spirit-filled heart. Sabi po niya in verses 26 to 27 of Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Kapatid, this is God's divine act. A kind of act that engrave and change our hardened hearts to a heart of flesh that beats for His glory. The question is, how are we right now? Is our heart beats for the glory for God alone? Or are we still, or is our heart still hardened sa mga sitwasyon na meron tayo? God promised a new heart that would transform and would reform the whole nature of man. Ito po yung kind of the transformation that transformed first from inside and would be visible sa outside natin. Kanina po habang meron po kaming class, isa po sa mga that I have mentioned to them that the doctrine and yung lifestyle natin is a manifestation or a mark of what kind of doctrine we believe or what kind of gospel that we believe. O kapatid, God had died for us to be renewed and to be reconciled and to be transformed into the image of our great and holy God. This is the only way that man could live in the presence of a holy and righteous God. This is the only way that we can obey Him in a manner that is natural and joyful para sa atin. God has transformed us from inside and out. This is the divine act of God in putting His word and writing in man's heart a new covenant that will be visibly displayed to the watching world. Again, that is our prayer and hope for Crossroads. O titingnan po natin, the people that belongs to this new community or under this new covenant have a natural bent to God and His Word. This is the provision of the new covenant. God knew that if He continued to operate under the old covenant, His people would still choose to go wayward, choose to sin, to break the covenant with Him, to break yung covenant nila sa Kanya. So God put a solution to man's long-standing problem na kasalanan at sa kanilang unfaithfulness. And that is a transformed heart. Our friends, reflecting on this transformation that God has given us, the question is, do I act? Do I live as a person who is transformed by God from inside out? A person that has a natural bent for His Word. A person that is a natural bent to obey and to love God more than anything else. A person that has a bent to magnify His glory rather than ourselves. Going back to our passage, so verse 34a po makikita natin that all the members of this new covenant under this new covenant have a universal knowledge of God. That there is no need for each one to teach his neighbors to know God or sa kanilang mga kapatid para makilala ang Diyos. Now the word, according to theologians, even na-mention din po ni Dr. Adam Brown ito sa aming class, that the word neighbor there suggests that the knowledge of Yahweh is not only an eternal knowledge within the Jewish community. But in effect, yung knowledge po na ito of Yahweh, of God, is shared to us Gentiles. We can see the continuation of God's promise to Abraham that they will become a blessing to other nations. And that happened through Christ's death on the cross. But we received reconciliation. We have been included to the family, to the community of our great and holy God. Maalala po natin that God had promised to Abraham that they will become a blessing to other nations, which is mentioned in chapter 12, verse 3, sa mga pinag-aralan natin noong nakaraan. And even the Mosaic Covenant says that they shall be a kingdom of priests to God for the nation. It is also mentioned in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. And again, if you are part ng community ng exile na to, sitting in Babylon and recalling yung mga ginawa na ninyo in rebellion against God, this is something na it gives you hope. Perhaps, kung maririnig mo yung bagay na promises na ito, reading yung chapter 12 ng Genesis, verse 3, that they will become a blessing to other nations. Perhaps you might, they are nodding their head in agreement to what God had said to Prophet Jeremiah. That finally, under this new covenant, they can truly embody what God had longed in vision for them bilang parte na kanyang pamilya. That they would be a representative, a priest that declares God's glory to others. And friends, that is a good reminder for us as well. Na ito po, yung vision ng Panginoon sa atin. He wants us to represent Him as a priest to other nations, to other people, to other language. Ang titingnan po na this should steer in us yung awe tsaka yung worship sa ating Panginoon, which is a proper response sa ginawa ng Diyos sa atin in redeeming us from the mess ng ating kasalanan. But how can we receive this? This might be the same question ng mga tao na to when they were reading yung passage ito. Paano namin matatanggap ito? Knowing that in our situation right now, we are exiles. We are rubbed off away from the land that God had promised us. What means He will use for us to receive this covenant? Ito po yung sinasabi in verse 34b. Natitingnan po natin. Yung reason, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. It is only through forgiveness that we will able to receive and live like this. In Old Testament, or yung mga kamaraan in the Old Testament, yung blood po is one of the means by which people use to ratify an agreement. Hindi po ba? Nakita po natin yan sa Genesis 15, where God and si Abraham ratify yung kanyang promise sa kanya through ritual, including yung blood na yun. And the same thing, yung practices din po ito is common even sa kanila. In Exodus 24 verse 5 to 8, makikita din po natin ito. That under the Mosaic law, yung provision that God used for man to receive forgiveness sa kanilang mga kasalanan is through the blood of animals sacrificed before Him. However, yung means na ito lack a means of its own. In addition, this is temporal. This is time-bound. So, it requires yung paulit-ulit na kailangan nilang gawin ito for them to be to receive yung forgiveness ito in the old covenant. So, there is no lasting solution offered here. But on the other hand, the law and the sacrificial system that is offers present this, yung dilemma dito. If the law lacks a means of its own to provide a lasting forgiveness of sin, katulad po sa sinasabi ni Jeremiah in verses 31, and chapter 31, verse 34b, na sinasabi niya that God will remember our sins no more, yung tanong po natin, what means will God use for them and for us to acquire yung forgiveness na to? Since the law reveals our sins and reveals its lack of means to deal with it, what now? Surely, the law is good. However, any transgression of the law is a sin, and the law cannot eradicates yung problem na ito that provides a lasting forgiveness. So God must provide another means to deal with this problem. The law foreshadows that means. Kung titingnan po natin. For people, para po sa mga tao sa exile na ito, their hope lies in the character of God to forgive yung kanilang mga kasalanan. To remember their sins no more. And they hope that this new covenant will provide it yung lasting na forgiveness para sa kanila. In the New Testament, yung New Covenant na po na ito na na-mention sa passage natin is fulfilled in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like the people from the Old Covenant who hoped and placed their faith in God, we too can receive a full pardon sa magitan lamang ni Kristo. Christ is not only the solution to the old sacrificial system, but the fulfillment of a lasting forgiveness. Christ, who is the perfect Lamb of God, offered his body and spilled his blood on the cross on our behalf, that by his wound we will be healed, that by his wound we will be reconciled to a holy God. Christ died, yet on the third day he was raised from the grave. That is a symbol that Christ has satisfied all the requirements of an angry and holy God. He satisfied it all on the cross. Nakikita po natin in Hebrews 10, 1-8, and it tells us that Christ's death is once and for all. Nakikita po natin at the author of Hebrews even reasoned that there is no other means to accomplish yung bagay na ito. But it is only in the person and in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why every time na tayo po ay nagagather bilang isang community, part ng isang bagong community that God has redeemed, we can observe po, in-observe po natin yung mga sacraments that Christ has instituted to us. Because it reminds us that we are of the new covenant we received through His poured blood on the cross para po sa kapatawaran ng ating kasalanan. Yan po yung natawag natin na Lord's Table at saka yung baptism, Lord's Supper and baptism. It reminds us that God, through His death and through faith in Him, we have received and we have been included in this new family, in this new covenant. In Matthew 26, verse 28, sinasabi po dito, "For this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and His people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to the forgiveness or to forgive the sins of many." Friends, this is what Christ has done for us. He died on our behalf for us to be reconciled to a holy and righteous God. He satisfied the wrath of the Father for us not to be consumed. That's the mercy of God towards us. But one thing, siguro I want to challenge us this morning. Let us increase in our understanding sa kasalanan so that we might increase our understanding of God's mercy. So we can truly embrace and live out a forgiven life. What are the things that you are struggling right now? Run to Christ. Run to His mercy. There is forgiveness, mga kapatid. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness that we have received from you. We thank you for Christ, who is our hope, who is our confidence. Lord, nawa po na yung mga katotohanan ito would be lived out by us throughout this week. Thank you for everything that you have done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.